Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us on the journey today. Roger, it is November.
November is a busy month for a lot of families, and it's a holiday month. The month will end with our national holiday of Thanksgiving. And we think of Thanksgiving in a lot of different ways. Times for families to gather together. A lot of good food is eaten. Sometimes it's some good football on TV. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful occasion. But it's a time that we're supposed to be thankful. Now, as God's people, we are always to be thankful. But this month, what we want to do is we want to kind of help all of us to become thankful. We want to think about the Lord. And so we're going to do a series here on Fridays throughout this month about Thanksgiving. And what we're going to do is we're going to surround this month, these lessons, around a hymn. It's a hymn that's entitled, "We Thank Thee, O Father." It's a very old hymn that has kind of a rural background to it. But as we talk about this song each week, we're going to kind of look at some spiritual lessons that will help us as we consider this. At the end of this podcast, we're going to actually play this hymn. This is a hymn that may not be familiar to very many of you. It's a very old hymn, but the words are powerful. And Jason's now going to tell us a little bit about the background of this song.
The man who wrote this song, the lyrics of it, was born 281 years ago. Any time words that were written that long ago are still remembered, there's something significant there. And that's one of my favorite things about old hymns. It was written by a man named Matthias Claudius. He was born in Rheinfeld, Germany, on August 15th, 1740. He was the son of a Lutheran minister, grew up in a very religious family, but in his early 20s, he lost his way for a time. He threw himself into the study of law and languages. But at the age of 37, he got very, very, very sick, and he had a friend that encouraged him to write poetry. He had dabbled in that and got enjoyment in that, and as he began writing poetry, his mind started going back to some of those Christian ideals and doctrines, and he credited at the end of his life that illness to reawakening him to what really mattered. And he is most famous, at least in 2021, for this song, "We Thank Thee, O Father." When he would talk about it, he would describe it as just a simple peasant's song. And apparently he had heard some of the words being sung by local farmers in the German countryside. He copied some of those things down that he heard those farmers singing, and he incorporated them into this larger hymn. Eventually, it found its way into many, many hymn books of Germany over the years. Obviously, it was written in German, but eventually translated. Matthias died on January 21st, 1815, but about 45 years later, it was translated into English by a woman named Jane Montgomery Campbell. She was an English musician and teacher. She was very proficient in German and, in fact, translated a number of German hymns into English. And here we are, 280 years later, this is still a universally favorite hymn of Thanksgiving. So, Roger, why don't you read for us the three verses of this old, old hymn?
And put yourself back in Germany, in the farm fields, and a group of farmers as they've worked all day, and instead of being tired and complaining, they're singing a hymn like this. It says, "We plow the field for sowing, the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grains, the breeze and the sunshine, and the soft, refreshing rain. The second verse says, He only is the maker of all things near and far. He paints the wayside flowers. He lights the evening star. The wind and waves obey him. By him the birds are fed. Much more to us, his children, he gives our daily bread. Then the third verse, We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good, the seed time and harvest, our life, our health, our food. Accept the gifts we offer, for all thy love imparts, and what thou dost desire are humble, thankful hearts.
A great... It's such simple words, but a great sentiment for us here in the month of November. All around us here in southern Indiana, we've been seeing combines and all sorts of farm equipment gathering. Many of us have visited pumpkin farms in recent weeks and have decorations out on our front porch. It's really easy for many of us just to, you know, kind of dabble in this for fun or just for aesthetic sake. We go to a grocery store and just easily, thoughtlessly pick up whatever it is that we need. But I think even in this old, very simple hymn, you've got a reminder of a lot of hard work that goes into seed time and harvest.
And it's a good reminder for us, especially for our younger ones, to remind them that, you know, the grocery stores don't just produce the food. You know, they just don't water it at night and here it comes. There's been things out in the field growing and a lot of hard work, and it took the rains and the sunshines, and every year the farmer concerns about drought and too much rain and bugs and all those things. But that produces us the food that we have. And for these thankful German farmers, they recognize all of this was contributed to God. And we have other hymns that also kind of have this rural farming concept. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom is one of our hymns. Again, there's that idea. The old song, Bringing in the Sheaves, is another hymn that talks about the farming community and that connection to the Lord. But we want to take off this first phrase in this wonderful hymn, We plow the fields for sowing. And we want to flip that and talk about that spiritually, because that's how God's word is spread. We think immediately of that parable of the sower. The sower went out and sowed some seeds. And Jesus wasn't really talking about farming there. He was using that as an illustration of how the word of God gets into each of our lives, and we change to become what God wants us to become. Sowing the seed of God. That has always been God's powerful way of getting his message across to the multitudes. And this is something this song will remind us of as we reflect upon that.
It's such a simple illustration of Jesus, and yet something we remember 2,000 years later. It's something that anybody could understand, could relate to, right? And yet such a powerful, powerful principle behind it. Let me just read that parable briefly from Luke 8. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Roger, what does he want us to hear?
He wants us to hear the word of God. That's what was sowed. That seed was the word of God, he would tell us later on. Paul would put it this way in the book of 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. That idea of sowing the word of God. Now today, in our modern world we live in, there's a lot of ways we can get information. You know, you could be at work or somebody said, hey, did you hear what happened? And immediately you could pull out your phone and look up the news right there on your phone. Or somebody could send you a text. Or somebody could send you an email. Or there could even be a phone call. Multiple ways of sharing information today. God's number one choice of getting his message across was preaching words from him, the word of God. And there's something special about that. You see, words have definite definitions, definite meanings. When somebody says go, we know what that means. When somebody says stop, we know what that means. When someone says yes, someone says no. Words have definite definitions. They're not vague. It's not like I didn't understand that. You know, I've been to art museums before, and I've stood before these paintings where it looked like a guy sneezed in the paint bucket, and it's all over the wall. And you got this art guide, and he says, "Do you see the artist's pain there?" And I said, "I don't see anything. I see a mess." You know, feelings are that way. We're into the season where there's Hallmark movies. The ladies may watch that and they may cry. The men may say, when is this thing going to be over? Because we have different impressions. God, words are not like that. Words are definite. So God said to Timothy through Paul, go preach the word. But another fascinating thing about words are words can be remembered. And we can do that. We can remember what somebody said a long time ago. We can remember what somebody told us to do. Will you go do this? And then that those words stick with us because words can be remembered. Words can be written and copied. And that's really how the Word of God came to us. It was first preached, and then it was copied, and then it was copied. And what we have is copies upon copies upon copies, but it's God's Word. And it can be the exact Word of God because it has been copied. And then, true to this hymn, words can be translated. This hymn was originally written in German, then it came to English, and here it is to us today. And so when God shows of all the avenues to get the message across, I mean, he could have painted words in the sky, he could have put feelings within us, he could have done a zillion different ways. He chose definite words that were to be preached. And so sowing the seed, sowing the word, so important in our relationship and our work with God.
So what I hear you saying is God has done his part, and we absolutely believe that. His word is this life-giving seed. And I think we even get a sense of its power in what the devil, according to Jesus, is trying to do or trying to keep from being done, right? As Jesus in that famous parable of the sower goes on to explain, those seeds that fell along the path are, well, they're comparable to someone who hears this living and active word of God. The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now, if we turn that on its head, if this word of God comes in contact with my heart and I believe, it can save me. It can save me from my sin. It can save me from the mess, the greatest messes of my own making, right? It can cause me to be heaven bound. But I've got a choice. Who am I going to listen to? Who is going to come first? There are some that as this seed comes in contact with their hearts, it's much more like a seed falling on rock. And I hear the word and I receive it. Maybe I'm even overjoyed by what I hear, but I don't develop any roots. I believe for a little while, and then in times of testing, I fall away. Or maybe it's more comparable to the seed falls into my heart and my heart is full of thorns and thistles. I am just consumed with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and there isn't any room for this seed. Roger, as you were talking about all of our technological advances, I was listening in view of this 250-year-old hymn. It reminds us of a simpler time in life. A lot of times I think we believe in 2021, we have it so much better because of all of the shiny, flashy, loud, noisy conveniences and technological tools that we have. There's something valuable in living such a simple life and recognizing this is a gift from God. We're going to work hard, and we're going to thank God for the increase that he is causing.
And what I also see in this simple hymn that we're talking about is there's such a connection to the actual earth in which these farmers were working in. And sometimes living in the city, you get away from that. You're surrounded by man-made things, man-made streets, man-made buildings, man-made, and we forget what God made. And sometimes just getting out there and see, no one can make a flower like God can. No one can make a tree like God can. In this hymn, it talks about the snow that's coming and things like that. And we can complain about the winter and we can complain about the weather and all these things. But these are blessings of God. And that is brought out in this. Sometimes it's good just to go outside and take a walk in the neighborhood, go to a park and get connected once again to this wonderful world God has made. These farmers, a long time ago, were thankful that God was giving them the means and the blessings in which they could have a produce, they could have a family supported by that, and they could help their community. So to us, as we think about this spiritually, this hymn says, we plow the fields for sowing. Book of Amos uses this expression, is a seed still in the barn? And that's a thought we have to remind ourselves of, that it's up to us to share the word of God to our families and to our friends. And when conversations come up, especially this month, when we're being thankful, what a great time to gather around the table and have every single person say, this is what I'm thankful for. And not to be cute and just say, well, I'm thankful for this food I'm about to eat. Lower the nets. Be thoughtful and considerate of all the blessings God has done. It's been a tough couple years with this pandemic, but you know what? Here we are, and here we're still living, and here we still have God. A lot of things to be thankful for. As we think about this wonderful hymn, we thank thee, O Father.
What I'm going to take away from this first portion of our conversation is I need to be deliberate in the month of November, deliberate in looking at the blessings around me, the physical manifestations of God's love and his power and his eternal wisdom, his divine nature. And I need to be deliberate with the seed that is his word. That seed needs to come in contact with human hearts. Roger, as you mentioned, we're going to say just a couple of other things, and then we encourage our listeners to stay right with us. We're going to play a recording of a congregational singing of this hymn. We encourage you to, even if you're not familiar with it, listen to it. Listen to it a couple of times here within the next week, and Lord willing, next Friday, we'll come back and we'll add a little bit more to this conversation. In the meantime, thanks for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above, giving you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.